Well, good morning. It's good to again be gathered together. I've titled my message this morning, Examples from the Life of Joseph, with a subtitle called Bitterness. I'd like to spend some time in the next, maybe two or three messages looking at the life of Joseph. There's so many different things that we can draw out of his life that will help us today. And when you look at the life of Joseph, bitterness is not the first thing that comes to mind, because we look at Joseph's life and I don't see anywhere throughout his life that he was bitter. But we're looking at Joseph's family for a bit this morning. He had some brothers that there was a lot of bitterness in their lives. So this morning we'll spend some time looking at this. Some of the things that Joseph's brothers became bitter about was that Joseph was a favored son. Something for us parents to pick up on here really quick. We don't have any favored children. We love each one the same. There's different needs, there's different personalities, but we love our children the same. But Joseph was favored over his brothers. He was given a coat of many colors. And we think about this when we think about the life of Joseph. That's one of the first things that we think about. It's this coat that he was given. And maybe sometime we'll look into that a little deeper, what this coat represented. Joseph shared dreams that he had. And in those dreams, it made it look like he was better than his brothers. And this created anger and hate in his brothers' lives. Bitterness. We see Joseph is kept close to home while his brothers are distant taking care of the sheep. And then he's sent out to check up on them. Like maybe things are just a little bit better with him than they are with the rest of the family. So we see a lot of bitterness in the brothers, Joseph's brothers here. And we're not going to dwell on Joseph and his brothers much this morning, but we're going to be talking a bit about bitterness. Bitterness in my life, bitterness in your life. And I'm not here this morning pointing at any of you saying you've got bitterness in your life. I want you to think about this morning and check your own hearts, check your own life this morning to see where you're at. It's been an interesting week, I guess, for me. As I was studying and as I was looking at bitterness and what it is and what it does to us in our lives, it didn't take me long to realize, yep, it's there. So this week has been a week of repentance. It's been a week of trying to create new pathways in my walk. So that's my prayer this morning for us as we look at this, that you allow the Spirit this morning to work in your lives and to see where am I at in my walk with God. So what is bitterness? Bitterness is an unforgiving or resentful feeling towards someone who has wronged you. We've all been wronged at one time or another. It's just the way it is. And the matter of fact of the matter is that we have wronged others. I had to think of the message we heard of the Sunday school lesson we had just lately. Tom taught about our speech. We need to be very careful. Maybe bitterness comes because a dream that I had has not been fulfilled. A dream that fell through. So we become bitter at this, and we would never say that we blame God, but we really do. Maybe it's because someone else received something better than I did. It's not fair. Life isn't fair. And it's created something within us that turns into bitterness. Bitterness begins with anger. We'll talk about this a bit more. But it turns into feelings of deep hatred and revenge. What are some of the things that we lose when there's a bitter spirit within us, when we harbor this bitter spirit within us? We lose peace. We lose joy. We lose happiness, a clear mind, our love for each other. Opportunities. We lose a lot of opportunities. We lose blessings. Sleep. We lose focus. And we lose health. I want to read something out of a book this morning. This is just short. It's not long. But it's a book titled None of These Diseases. And I have not read through this whole book, so I really don't know a whole lot about this book. But out of this chapter, I'd like to read just a little bit about what this doctor, he's a medical doctor, says about hatred when we have hatred in our lives, what it does to us. The moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he even controls my thoughts. How many of you can think back to a time where there was somebody that controlled your thinking so much that work was no longer enjoyable? Life wasn't good. My resentments produced too many stress hormones in my body, and I become fatigued after only a few hours of work. The work I formerly enjoyed is now drudgery. Even vacations cease to give me pleasure. It may be a luxurious car that I drive along a lake fringed with the autumnal beauty of maple, oak, and birch. As far as my experience of pleasure is concerned, I might as well be driving a wagon in mud and rain. The man I hate hounds me wherever I go. I can't escape his tyrannical grasp on my mind. When the waiter serves me porterhouse steak with french fries, asparagus, crisp salad, and strawberry shortcake smothered with ice cream, it might as well be stale bread and water. My teeth chew the food and I swallow it. But the man I hate will not permit me to enjoy it. As I read that, I thought, yeah, I understand. Probably some of you here this morning can also say, yeah, we understand. Because of where we've been in our lives. Maybe something that we're facing now. Let's look at this list. What do we gain when we no longer harbor a bitter spirit within us? Every one of these is just a complete turnaround. We lose these as we harbor this spirit. And as we take care of this spirit, we bring it under the blood. These are things that we gain back again. I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews 12, verse 14. I'm going to have it on the screen up here. But Hebrews 12, 14, and 15 are going to be our verses of text this morning. And I'm just going to read those. We're going to make some other comments and we'll come back to these verses. Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. Say this, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. So let's look for a bit here at the difference between anger and bitterness. Anger is an emotion. Are emotions wrong? No. Anger is not a wrong emotion. We have those emotions within us that come up. They come up quickly. But the key to this anger is taking care of it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So we take care of the anger. We have those feelings. How many of you get an angry feeling within you when you think about the children that are being sold into sex slavery? I hope everybody here gets angry when they hear about that. That's a good anger to have. But it's not an anger that we want to dwell on to where it turns into something else. We bring it to the cross. We bring it to Christ. We feel angry because of something that just happened. It's a quick thing that happens in our life. Somebody does something and there's an anger that happens quickly, but it's got to be a controlled anger. Taken care of. It's an emotion that God has given us. But it's an emotion that we have to take care of quickly. It's an emotion that we feel because there's a present hurt. Now let's think a little bit about bitterness. Bitterness, on the other hand, is normally an emotion that happens, a feeling that happens, because we have a past hurt. Something that happened maybe a long time ago when we were younger, maybe a week ago. But something that has taken place in our lives that we became angry and we dwelt on it and we fed it and it turned into bitterness. If I look back at my life and the bitterness that was happening in my life, these are some of the things that I saw. And you think about these in your life. Judgmental attitudes. Very, very judgmental attitude. Something God had to work in my life. Feelings of resentment. A grudge. A grudge that can last a long time. It's a hate for someone or something that will eat at your emotions till there's a hardness of heart that will draw you into a downward spiral. Some of us know what that spiral is all about. But I want to add something to that sentence. It will draw us into a downward spiral if it isn't taken to the Lord for healing. I want to leave a bright spot there. Let's go back to our text. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness. We're talking here about peace and holiness. And it says, if you don't have these, you can't see the Lord. I like the NLT on this. He says, look at living in peace with everyone. Or work, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. But then we get to verse 15 here. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And the idea he has in this verse is talking to the believers. Looking diligently, looking, can I say, at each other, taking note of each other. Is there a way that we can help each other so we don't fail of the grace of God? I think that's what he's trying to tell us. Help each other out. If you see something coming up, step in and love your brother or sister enough to help them out in this area. So we don't fail of the grace of God. The grace of God is there for each one of us to be successful, to be victorious. His power is there for us to take within us and to walk a life that is pure and that is holy. But I'll be honest with you, it's hard for us to step out and talk to somebody. And maybe it's even harder yet to have somebody talk to us. That goes against our grain. But we're brothers and sisters. We need each other. We need to be open to each other. And we need to be open enough, listen enough to the Holy Spirit to be able to talk to somebody and to help each other out. Follow peace. Live holy. The fact of the matter is, bitterness is not very peaceable or holy, is it? When I harbor bitterness, I'm sure not pleasant to be around, am I? Can we say neither are you without hurting any feelings this morning? He talks about a root of bitterness, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. So we're going to think for a bit here about this root of bitterness. But to have a root, something else has to happen first. There has to be a seed. So what is this seed? I have a plant here with me this morning. It's a bit wilted. It wasn't this morning. Farmers, who can tell me what kind of a plant we have here? All right, they're squinting. Tom, what do you think? What kind of a plant do we have here? Okay, it's not. It's actually a weed. All right, somebody says ragweed. Mare's tail. You're shaking your head. What do you think? Okay. I'm asking because I'm not sure. But I think it's lamb's quarter. Is that what it looks like? No, it's not lamb's quarter. Okay, it's a weed. We're going to leave it with that. It's a weed and they grow in my garden. And this weed is a very strong weed. I hate them. They will grow in my row in the onions this year. These weeds were growing in my onions. And if I didn't get them when they were tiny, I went and I pulled them up. Guess what happened? The onion came with it. So there was a seed for this plant at one time. There was a tiny, tiny seed. Let's think a little bit what that seed might be. Could it be that there was a hurt? Could it be that there was a hurt that somebody did to me? And that was a tiny seed that was planted. Let's go a step further. Could it be that I imagined that somebody put this seed in the ground? Could it be that I imagined that? And from that imagination, I began to hate. Can I be honest with you this morning? That's my struggle. It's not so much that people are saying things negative against me. But I can imagine that somebody has done something wrong against me or thinking something wrong. And I ask you to pray for me. Because normally the week, the first or second day after I preach, that's when I struggle with this. Because I just shared a message, somebody is thinking, that was stupid, that was dumb. And I can dig into that thing until there is bitterness. So yes, please pray for me. That's a struggle that I face. So maybe we imagine that there's a seed. But let's say there is a seed. Somebody has done something to offend me. And I did not take it to the cross. Instead, I let it go into the soil. What is the soil? The soil is my heart. It's my emotions. So now we have this seed that's been planted into my heart. And I still have the opportunity to take that back to the Father and tell Him, you know what, I don't want that seed there. Can you please remove that? And the Father gladly will remove that seed from me. But if we allow that seed to be in our heart, what's going to happen next? It grows. There's germination. All of a sudden it grows. Something begins to happen under the soil. There's roots that are starting to grow. Let me tell you about a plant that we had out in Arizona when I did lawn care. We had a tiny little grass. It was nuts hedge. We called it nut grass. This tiny little nut grass, it wouldn't grow very tall, but it would grow up in the flower beds. And it was such an irritation. I would take Roundup, and even though Roundup is a systemic killer, it goes down into the system and kills what's underneath the ground. This one it wouldn't get. It'll get a little bit of it, but the next week you come, there's another one growing here and another one growing here. Do you know why? Underground, there were tubular veins that grew. And as they grew, occasionally they'd stop and they'd drop a bulb. And you had another plant. Then there's another one over here. Some of those bulbs could lay dormant for 10 years. And you'd think you've got it. And all of a sudden it comes back up again. Because it never was dealt with properly. It was never removed. You know where I'm going with this? Bitterness. Bitterness has to be dealt with. Because unless we deal with bitterness, we can make it look on the outside like things are good. It's going to pop back up again. Joseph's brothers had bitterness. For many, many years they had to think about this. So we have the soil that this is growing in. And it is painful. Let's admit, it is painful what has happened. So instead of taking it to the Father, we've allowed it to grow. We're harboring the hurt. The roots are really beginning to grow and a plant comes up. And that plant might look good for a little bit. We might think there's a good plant growing. But under the surface, there's things happening that are eventually going to show. See, we have the root of bitterness and we also have the fruit of bitterness. Eventually, this is going to grow and there's going to be a seed on top of this plant that drops and there's going to be more growth. What does he say here in verse 15? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, when we have bitterness, it doesn't stay just with us. All of a sudden, there's other people that are going to be touched by this. And unless we deal with this bitterness, there were things that would be happening in our life to where we lose out. So is it important that we deal with this bitterness in our lives? Something else that happens as this root is growing and this plant is growing is that this plant is taking moisture. When it's growing next to our tomatoes or in the row of potatoes or next to these onions, what's happening? It's taking the moisture from that plant. There's something about weeds. They know where the moisture's at. Sometimes we have weeds that grow in dry land. But some of these weeds grow right next to the other plants and they're taking the nutrients away from it. And a plant, a good plant, is getting hurt. What are some of the fruits that we see in our spiritual walk? If bitterness is not taken care of, there's blaming. So easy. You guys remember the message that Harold preached one time? The blame game? There's blame. I can point at everybody and anything and say it's your fault when it comes right here. It's so easy to do. But that's not the answer. That's actually a fruit of bitterness. Unthankfulness, another fruit of bitterness. Unfriendliness, unforgiveness, the desire to get even. This root that grows is going to eventually hinder me from being productive. It will stop my growth. Bitterness separates. There's devastation. I want to share with you this morning 5 steps to overcoming bitterness. I don't want to leave this on a negative note. The first one I've got here is to ask the Holy Spirit. And by the way, these are things, a few of these are things I read. Some of these are things that I came up with as I read through Scripture. And there's so many more. And I ask you this morning, if there's something else you can think of, write it down and give it to me. I'd like to see what else you come up with. 5 steps to overcoming bitterness. The first one we have is ask the Holy Spirit to show you if you have any bitterness in your heart. And I've got the Scriptures here. I'm just going to read these quickly. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Here he says, search me. That's the first thing that he says, search me. That we're beginning to open ourselves up and allow him to look deep within us. He searches us out. And then we ask him to try us. To see what we're made of. See what our thoughts are. And then we ask him to lead us. We commit ourselves to him and he leads us. I want to tell you a story. This came out of a little village years ago. And I don't remember anymore the village, where the village was at, what country was in. But the people began to be sick. And so they hired a team to come in and try to find out, why are we sick? And the team came in and they went through the village and they checked things out. Finally, they came to the place where they said, your water is contaminated. There's something in your water. So they went to the stream that came down through the village. That's where they got their drinking water. They went to the stream and they started going up through this stream looking. What is contaminating this water? They got to the head of the stream, which must have been underground cisterns. And there was still, they couldn't find anything. It was contaminated, but something was contaminating. It didn't show on top of the ground. So finally they got some divers, and these divers dove deep. And down in the bottom of that well, they found a pig and her piglets that had fallen into the well, or not the well, I'm sorry, into this stream head. And they were down at the bottom. That was contaminating their water. And I had to think about sometimes when we come to the Father and we ask him, would you search us? Sometimes he goes deep and it's painful. He goes deep, and what he finds is not something that we like. But what we need to do then is to bring it to the cross and ask him to remove it. Ask him to strengthen us. Ask him to help us through that. The second one we have is to realize that harboring bitterness is sin. And since it's sin, we need to pray. We need to repent. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." We're going to come back to this verse here in a bit. But if bitterness has been a part of my life for an extended period of time, it may take some work. It may take some commitment. And let me ask you to think about this. This is something that's hard for us today. Find someone that you can tie in with. Brothers, find another brother that you can talk to. Find somebody that's older than you, that has experience, and ask them to help you out in working through this. Sisters, find somebody that you can deal with. I know you're going to open yourself up to somebody, but if we want to gain victory, sometimes that's very important, that we find somebody to help us out. The third one we want to look at is to create a new path for your mind to focus on. Now, don't get scared on this one. Sometimes we have the idea that something like this is New Age, and it may be. But I want us to hear this very carefully. I'm not preaching something New Age this morning. Those of us that went to the men's purity class about sexual purity found out, as the guy instructed us, that in our minds we create paths, pathways. We create these pathways that we function over and over. Let's talk about sin. We function in the sin and we continue to walk down that same path. And we ask God, can you help us? But we still continue down that same path. What I'm talking about this morning is asking God to give us a new path. Let's imagine for a minute I'm going to work. I drive a bicycle. And I'm on my way to work. And on this bicycle, I don't like hitting bumps, but there's a big pothole on the road that I take. And as I go, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. What do I need to do? Nobody's fixed the pothole. Take a different route. Continue to go down the same route, you're going to continue to have the same thing. Unless you expect different results and you take steps to see results that are different, you will always go down the same path. When it comes to going down this path of bitterness, we need to ask God to give us new direction. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew." You catch that word, renew? Renew a right spirit within me. There was a time when I walked closely. I have fallen away. Renew my mind. Take me back there again. I found that one of my struggles was I would begin the day with negative thinking. Hop out of bed, and instead of saying good morning to the Lord, like I said last time, there's times that I would have a negative thought, and that would permeate my thinking for the rest of the day. Create a clean heart. Give me a new path. Renew a right spirit within me. A couple of other verses, 2 Corinthians 10:3, 4, and 5, and we're talking here about this being a war that is a war, not of the flesh, but a spiritual war. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. And this is the verse that really spoke to me. Casting down imaginations. Remember I told you that I can imagine somebody is having a bad thought about me? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes in our bitterness, we like to convince ourselves that we're just going through a struggle. It's just a difficult time. I'll get over this on my own. It's not a big deal. But I believe we're fooling ourselves. We need to bring it to the cross. The fourth one we want to look at is pray for the offending one. Matthew 5:43-44 says this. "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." I think there's quite a few of us here that could testify to this. When we have a struggle with somebody, we begin to pray for that somebody, and things change. Do you know what changes? I don't think it's the other person. But I think there's change that takes place within our own heart. God removes some of that dirty soil, some of that bitterness that's happening, and He puts something clean and good there. Pray for the other person. Sometimes we would like to have vengeance. Let's just be honest. Somebody does something I'd really like for God to get them. Did you know He will? Romans 12:17-21. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Don't take revenge. It's not your job. "But rather give place unto wrath." That means let it go. "For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. This is what he tells us to do. He says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There's two places. See if I can explain this the way I'm thinking this. The wrongs that are done, there's two places where those wrongs are going to go to. One is the one we want to see, where somebody has sought forgiveness and it's going to the cross and it is removed. That's what we want to see. But there's another place. It is not up to us to take revenge. If forgiveness, repentance is not sought, it's a sin. And in the final judgment, it's going to be dealt with. It's not up to us. We pray for them, but it's not up to me to take revenge, which is so many times what we want to do. And the last one we want to look at is forgive those who cause an offense. We're going to come back to one of the verses that I shared earlier here. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, look at a couple of verses in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:26 says this, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Take care of that anger as it grows quickly, or as it comes. Don't let it grow. Deal with the anger. But he says, then in verse 27, he says, neither give place to the devil. And this is where many times we fail. We allow this anger to work in our lives. It begins to boil. And eventually it turns to bitterness. Then he says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath. Wrath is quick acting, instant anger. And anger, the anger he's talking about is a temper. And clamor, harsh words. Evil speaking is slander. He says, be put away from you with all malice. Malice is the desire to hurt them or to get even. He says, put those away from you. And then he tells us in verse 32 what we are to do. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's take our minds back to the cross for a minute. As Jesus walked up Calvary's Hill, all of us realize, I believe, that that should have been us. We should have been the one to walk up that hill, but he came because of his great love for us. And he walked up that hill and he laid himself down on that cross to take on my sins, your sins, to give us freedom, to give us eternal life. So my challenge this morning, we know what Christ did for us. He went to the cross. He's forgiven us. Can I forgive my brothers and my sisters? Can I take my hurts, my anger to God and allow Him to heal that quickly? Is there bitterness in my life that has been there for many, many years that I have never dealt with? I'd like for us to stand this morning. You know in your heart where you're at with bitterness. You know in your heart if you've ever dealt with that bitterness. We're just going to spend a little bit of time in silence. And if you're sensing that there's something in your life, would you bring it to the Father this morning? Let's bow our heads. Lord, you know this morning where we're at. You know, Father, whether we've got these roots that are underground that nobody can see, that eventually are going to damage. You also know, Lord, where we have faced anger and we've brought it to you and you helped us through that. Lord, I'm asking this morning that you would just again draw us close to yourself, that your Spirit would tap on our heart's door, and that we would realize, Lord, that you are there waiting for us to give you our heavy load, our struggles, our bitterness. We thank you so much for working amongst us. We ask that you would continue to do this. Dismiss us with your blessing. We honor, praise, and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Aaron.